I bought those 5 gallon,
we'll call 15 gallon
jugs, and that's not big enough for what you need.
And it's free.
Those 15 gallon cans that had the bottom of them, them actually worked pretty good.
Plus, we're going to do it Zoom, so we don't even have mileage.
Yeah, kind of. Similar to that.
Jeez.
It's got a,
as soon as you're inside, start coughing.
The bottom of it.
Well,
got
as soon as I'm inside, then start coughing.
Donut.
We'll call the Gage County Board. I might have to get one. We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, February 10th, 2021, to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 27th, 2021. Approve all claims through February 10th, 2021 in the amount of $471,088.35. Accept claim number 21020082 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,629.12 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve caretakers for Pioneer Cemeteries. Approve Register of Deeds fee report and District Court summary fee report for the month of January 2021. Approve 2021 Gage County Highway Department policy with townships. Approve utility permit 1180 to Diller Telephone. They will be plowing in approximately 4.25 miles of fiber, 48 count or 24 count fiber cable. They will bore 5 to 10 foot below every creek, road, crossings, and culverts. Bore will be 3-inch diameter cable and will be encased in 1.25-inch smooth wall pipe. Cable will be placed 24 to 30 foot from the center of the road in greater ditch, 5 foot deep, and vaults placed along the 33-foot right-of-way, located in the southeast quarter section 35, southeast, southwest, and northwest quarter section 36, southeast, northeast section quarter section 25, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. Northeast quarter section 2, northwest, northeast quarter section 1, township 2 north, range 6 east, Sicily Township, and northeast, southeast, and southwest quarter section 30, northwest, southwest quarter section 31, northwest, southwest quarter section 29, township 3 north, range 7 east, Rockford Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor, and motion carries. Up next, the regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 21020082. To Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,629.12. This brings the total amount of claims approved through February 10th, 2021 to $472,717.47. Hard Rock Quarries is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just going to report the ramp heater did get installed, and we had our first test run with it with the last snow and extreme cold temperatures, and it did work fine. It's nice on this ramp. We have more settings and just a valve control on it. So I did have to adjust it a little bit with the extreme cold weather. It was starting to freeze up a little bit on top, and then we turned it up and it burned it off. So That all worked good. The question was asked last time whether I thought we needed to replace that concrete also, and it does. You can still see some areas where the ice melts off and certain most of it pretty good, but there's still some areas where I just always feel like the circulation in some of those turns and stuff just it doesn't flow through there very good. So I'd still recommend, yes, we do need to replace the ramp also this spring. So other than that, snow removal and everything went really good this time. It was a nice light snow this time at least. In assessor's office now, we're working, they had asked for some glass in their office, and so we actually had leftover glass from treasurer's office, so we're using up some of that glass, and I just had to build some posts, so we'll be working on that. And fire alarm testing is tomorrow, so it's going to be noisy in here right at 8 o'clock in the morning for 5 minutes or so while they do that. So,
has everybody been notified it's going
to
happen?
I'm so going to let them know, yes.
Okay, good.
So they don't have to go outside. So that's about all. I did talk to Greg Dennis from Masonry Construction to see how his schedule was, and he does have some time available. We would still have a panel on the south side yet that we could work on, and then that would pretty much wrap the south side to the gutter line. The tower part is still needs some attention yet. We did notice, I do not know why, Greg doesn't know why, but the patches, they can get those to match so good, and then I don't know if it was the dryness this summer, but a lot of those repairs got really light. They can over dye those, so at no charge. They've worked on them before to try and, you know, really get that color match as close as they can. They can apply a dye right to the top of those repairs, but they are noticeable. They have been this summer and this fall, so we'll address that also while he's here. So I'm going to get a quote from him again to find
some. Are those deep enough we have to patch them?
Most of them are. The trouble is that stone, it's a sandstone, and those do flake off. They actually grind in a good probably 3/8 of an inch or so to get into the solid stone again. So, yeah, they do have to repair it. You know, on the rough cut stone, that face cut stone, it doesn't seem like that stuff is flaking off, but on that smooth surface stone, it really is flaking off, and it is noticeable. And, you know, I guess if just nature, if it would just flake off, that's okay, but once it does, it just seems like that moisture can get down. You know, it's always flaking off, and there's an edge in there. And it's like the sedimentary layers, I guess you could call it, where that moisture just keeps getting in there. So
we've just dealt with that for years. It just...
Yes.
You take really good care of it. Davey is over here working so much, you can't even believe it, the amount of hours he puts in.
Hopefully inside here the next week.
It will be, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So... But other than that, I think everything, our heating system, everything, this is always a test for everything when it gets this cold, and everything's working fine. So
wonderful. Anything for Dave? Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Don't need to worry about heat in the county attorney's office. It's hot enough in there without the...
All the work going on?
Yeah.
The hot air.
Yeah. Oh. They're just hitting it so hard.
Pipe some of it over here.
Equalization.
Nothing other than what we heard earlier.
Finance and insurance. Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging. $26,145. City Beatrice Victim Assistance Coordinator. Beatrice Library Funds, $18,500. Correctional Risk Services Inmate Medical, $12,569.02. Jones Automotive Sheriff Vehicle Equipment Installation, $12,818.83. Road Department, Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Culverts, $15,693.50. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $10,643.27.
I think that installation, that's getting to be damn near as much as a car.
It's close.
Jeez, Gus, can't you find somebody that can do that at a reasonable rate?
Mr. Harris, get my MOU done. I'll be working on it.
That ain't going to save you any money, but it's a theory.
Is that done in Omaha or is that done in Beatrice?
It's done in Omaha.
Can Johnny's Welding put some plastic seats in a car? And install
a CB. Run a couple wires to the trunk.
Get like that van.
At least four wires to the trunk. Yeah.
That'd be nice theory. We did ask for, as our liability insurance is coming up, we did ask for a price to see what it would cost to take us from $5 million to $10 million in liability insurance. They'll get us a quote on that, and that's something we can talk about whenever that comes in. Human Resources, Employee Relations. Nothing. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management. Who would like to go first?
They're pointing at each other and they can't see each other.
Oh, we should be recording this.
To tell the truth.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. So I'll just give you a COVID update. This past week, positivity rate's at 16%. We are in the yellow category. Just note that the 16% seems a little high based upon the tests that we had because we had 2 days of no testing because of weather. So we have some little outbreaks that we've learned of this week, but don't have those test results in yet. We're in the 1B priority of the vaccination program right now. This week we have 500 doses to manage. We got an extra 300 doses, so that's been a blessing. Beatrice Community Hospital is still managing those doses for us and through the immunization clinic. So we've got a total of the 500. So if you take the last 3 weeks, by week's end, which I believe they're doing the Saturday clinic also this week, we'll have 900 people that have been offered in the general population of that 75 plus when we're completed this week. So we've got a long ways to go yet. We'll learn today at noon what the allocations will be statewide for public health solutions in our district, and then that will be decided on Friday as to what our allocation is for Gage County. So
75 plus, Lisa, is how many?
Yeah.
How many do we have in the district?
6,000.
Mm-hmm. So we're about a sixth of the way through that.
Mm-hmm. That's based upon the records from Beatrice Community Hospital. And so, as you know, the priority part with President Biden has been 65 plus, and then plus those 18 years of age with and up with high risk medical conditions. So yeah, we still have to open that population up yet. School districts right now are beginning to be managed through Public Health Solutions' allocations. They're doing it through a lottery system through the ESU, which, as I understand, Beatrice will be receiving 100 doses next week. They'll be managing that within house, but that allotment's to be divided up and managed by ESU. So I don't know as much as particulars yet on that, but that's what I do know. There still continues to be some confusion as to how people get signed up. Honestly, there is confusion because first we rolled out the Public Health Solutions had their sign up, you know, and because people wanted to be identified as being interested in taking the vaccine, and then the statewide system rolled out. And then what truly needs to happen is for people to get an appointment, they need to go through the 1-800 number, which is managed through Beatrice Community Hospital, to get that appointment. So we're fielding a lot of calls and trying to get that information out to people.
I think the news media has done pretty good in getting that information out, both the radio and our newspaper, too.
Let people
know how to make the appointment.
I would agree. There's just a large number of volume of calls that are coming in, and, you know, people are I've heard up, I mean, on Tuesday, up the excess of 75 tries before and still didn't get in. So for them, that's, it just takes time. So
it's a tough situation right now.
It is. Tonight we meet with 3 and 33, all the fire districts within Gage, Jefferson, Saline, and Lancaster County in Fairbury. So we'll be going through our review process of mutual aid, and the 3 and 33 group hasn't had the opportunity to meet just because of COVID this last, in person, I should say. They've met online, so we'll be attending that meeting. As far as zoning is concerned, last night the Zoning Commission met. Review process. They're going to move forward and continue to review. Looked at a lot of different points, but looking at all the regulations. So, and then I did share with you a list of the permits at the committee review, and I'll just be waiting for the resolution. I have not received any additional calls or anything or concerns on the resolution that you're looking at today. So,
Ness, have you invite people to come to your meeting? You have an open so people can come and comment.
We have open comment just like you. Same protocol. Open comments can be heard. Last night we heard from two individuals that could present information. That was done during open comment time. So
good. We need to be as open as possible to include the people of our county, and so they can. Yeah. Speak up and give you information, and you can share with us. And sure. Being open is really important.
Sure. It's open meetings. Anyone can attend.
And you have a new chairman and vice chair last night.
Yes. Jeff Argo will be serving as our chairman, and then Monty Merkel was in that position as vice chairman before, and he will continue to hold that position, and he will also represent the variance committee. So.
I've talked to Dennis. I'll talk to Jeff and real briefly with Lisa last night. She's getting the standing rules or the.
I think Justin is to be helping with that. That's a request to Dennis.
Oh, okay, yeah. Dennis asked for Justin to get the standing rules because there was discussion on how to get something on the agenda. Emily had called me about it, and we talked some. Justin was going to get that. There's also some stuff. I would think we should probably talk with Roger in the next week or month before the next meeting, just for legal counsel, how much time they're going to be there, what resources are available, just so that you guys have whatever resource you need. I know there's been some frustration there from the board side. I haven't talked to Lisa much directly about that, but maybe you and I and Roger or if Jeff wants to talk or kind of figure out whatever we're going to need from legal counsel moving forward as far as a resource there.
I think as we review, I mean, we all know that wind energy always has state statutes that are tied to it, so that, you know, keeping abreast to state statute changing is always helpful. So we do rely on the attorney's office to help us work through that process for sure. But.
We'll have a few more contentious things. Then I'm sure it'll be smooth sailing for years.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Makes the virus look good.
There you go. Sheriff, do you mind if Trevor would present his, does anybody from the board have a problem if Trevor would present his Engage report prior to the sheriff quick?
Thanks.
All right. We'll have Trevor Lee, Engage Executive Director, give his quarterly report to us.
And my helper.
And his helper, Deacon. Good morning.
I want him to present. You probably don't know what you're doing, but he does. he's got a good book there.
He does.
Occupied. Leave him alone.
Being quiet. Well, thank you. So you should have in your packets our quarterly report. So this would be the quarterly report number 2. For me, it's kind of just wrapping up a year on the job that was much different than what I thought it would be coming down last March, but touch on a few things here. You'll see it in the cover letter towards the bottom half and probably elsewhere in here. The bulk of last year really kicked off in June working on what I would call a mega project, and pretty confidential for most of the year, which is probably why Eric didn't speak much about that. We did not get that project, but it was just an awesome exercise for us as far as connecting with local resources from planning and zoning, county, the city, all our utility providers, all the way up to BNSF and Norris Public Power and so on. So I think that was a good testimony to not just Engage, but the partners that we have across the state and really the Midwest. That project started with 36 communities, plus or minus a couple. And by the end, we were number four with a site that had a lot of encumbrances, and we were still hanging in there. So I could not have asked for a better project coming into a new community and during COVID. And I think it really set us up for success moving forward. On the BRE, Objective 1, we have just kicked off our a rather untraditional and conventional business visit program due to COVID. So we're doing online surveys first because a lot of those businesses we're trying to hit are manufacturers. They're very conscious of COVID-19 protocols. We've actually had, you know, we shoot for 40 visits a year. I think we're up to 9 or 10 respondents on those surveys, which is really tremendous because there's a lot of confidential information that they're sharing and they're willing to do it online. So we'll be following up with those businesses, and then hopefully as things become, you know, knock on wood, more relaxed, we could actually get into these businesses and visit with them and see how they're doing and check in on them. This is in addition to our COVID-19 specific.
Can he have candy?
He's got an eyeball on that candy.
Can he have some? Is he?
Yeah.
Is
it okay? Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
It was Don's idea, not mine.
He has already asked me about it once. So this is in addition to our COVID-19 business impact survey, two rounds that we did last year that I've already spoken about. So we're trying to figure out what that looks like. New business attraction, in addition to the, we'll call it the mega project, we've got about 11, I'd say now we're up to 12 or 13 projects that are in Hopper. A couple of those are carryover from pre-COVID that are just on idle, including international projects, especially Italy and Canada. But with this, and with the project we were working on, which was coded Project P&E, we did secure 260 acres with a purchase option using member investor funds we've got through the end of this year. The site is northwest of Beatrice, and I believe this week we'll be publishing or sending out RFQs for master planning, due diligence above and beyond what we were able to do for that project. So the ALTA surveys, the wetland delineation, really marking what's where. And we've got two pipelines running through the site, things of that nature. We'll be applying for Nebraska Public Power District site readiness grant to help cover half of that cost. And with that, we'll have some nice, not just due diligence, but some good graphics to promote the site. And I think we'll probably do a more public announcement of the site when those are ready. I would anticipate June or July of this year. And the people attraction and skilled workforce availability, you know, in the past, when I've talked about it, we've always just tried to wrap our minds around how do we get the existing career opportunities that we have right here throughout the county in front of our schools, not just in Beatrice, but also our schools and other communities in the county, as well as our rather large homeschool population. Manufacturing Day was a big part of that in October. That did not happen. So we are launching next week during our annual meeting, launching a first of many video series promoting these opportunities, highlighting businesses throughout the county. Saw the first draft of one of those videos. It's very cool. That was highlighting Rosine Machine. But we started out looking at just manufacturers, and the more we dove into it, we need to highlight a lot more because there's a lot more opportunities just than manufacturing. So healthcare, public services, all those things and everything in between. So I think it's going to be not just multi-month, but multi-year effort that could complement those other in-person activities that hopefully we get to resume moving forward. That kind of goes in line with our marketing communications to stakeholders. No real changes there, nothing that I would report on. And then as far as our membership, we are having our annual meeting next Tuesday at Classics. We're not doing the traditional banquet or speaker just due to COVID-19, and we surveyed membership, and it was really split as far as even having it in person. But we do have two seats to fill. We have the county seat, which is held by James Lenners, who is wants to maintain that position. So he's running. We have one other candidate for that position. Then we have a city seat that is open with three candidates. So by this time next week, we'll have at least one new board member and possibly new officers.
I'll say, too, as far as funding goes, that's always a question from the county. This is a spend-down type program. We approve up to $150,000, the same as the city. Last year, that wasn't all expelled last budget year. It's approved as it's used instead of everything just being sent over and there being a slush fund of sorts. So that money is always being used. That was an argument with the old group. We don't talk about all these things a lot of these projects, but I will say this project, Project Peony, it was a great one. We came down to the wire, had some really good meetings towards the end, but even more important than getting that project, our positioning is way better. There's pieces in place now that weren't before. There's knowledge there. There's grants that'll be going out to get the studies done so that when a project comes and they say shovel ready, it's not, okay, there's the dirt, but now we start our due diligence process for another 6 months. It's here's the information you're requiring, here's what's available, here's rail access, power capabilities, gas, everything. So we're positioned way better now in that spot. And that was done with investor money, so it's not public money. It's actually part of that real public-private partnership where it's people putting money in and participating with private funds. So that's even though we haven't necessarily seen a project like that, we do see things coming into the community, into Beatrice right now. And I can confidently say one project I thought would go last year should be going this year. Bids have gone out on some of that already. And there's even some more potential where some projects you think die, but because of that communication, they come back online. And it looks like we may be in that situation again, too. So Engage isn't necessarily a direct conduit from A to B. It's a facilitator from A to B. And I can vouch that that's being done very well.
Do we have anything going? Maybe you can't talk about that on the Starcraft property at this point.
Their bids have been let for some dirt work on the south side of Irving, and that's all public because it was a TIF project. So those will be multifamily housing. And we've got some things in the hopper on the north side of Irving that we can't publicly talk about yet, but I think there's going to be some
exciting. But do they have some things going?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some exciting projects that could happen there.
And when are they going to do the housing issue, do you know?
Well, the bids have been let for the dirt work. Through the grapevine, I don't know if everything is in place for the financing yet. So that may be delayed sometime. But originally they were hoping to be doing construction this summer. So that's still their goal.
Okay.
I still think site work is scheduled for this spring. So hopefully.
Yep.
And that looks like a nice project, too. You know, we always need workforce housing. This looks like it'll be a little nicer, addition than some projects we've seen.
Well, it'll be great to see something happen in all of that open space. It's mm-hmm. wonderful space and
very visible.
It'll be fantastic. And I see Holiday Inn Express has built their new building.
Yep, the My Place Hotel is right adjacent to that. That's popped up pretty quick. Yep.
They may have dodged the COVID lack of travel perfectly for the next season.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's some pipeline jobs and people coming through again. Any questions for Trevor?
I'm glad you have a good boss.
He takes pretty good care of me. Yeah.
Good. You're real lucky.
Deacon, is that enough candy or do you need some more?
Can't see patients.
I'm okay, right. Mr. Teeman.
He's fine.
All right. Thank you very much. Should we put that on file?
Move to place report on file.
Moved by Lidle.
Second.
Second by Jergens to place Engage Executive Director Report second quarter on file. Please vote. 11 in favor. Motion carries. All right, back to law enforcement. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. I missed you Monday.
I'm sure you did.
I almost had a tear. I really did.
Well, the good news is I have your report here, so I can ask you questions later now.
Okay, just a quick recap from Monday. As of the 29th of last month, the sheriff's budget is around 64. Jail is around 48. We had some expenses come up that Mr. Chairman and Mr. Lytle were aware of anyway, but opportunity was to get patrol cars, so we took one out of our budget, and then we had two purchased then. One came out of County General Fund and then to the last budget, but unfortunately all four came this month or this budget year due to the transitional cost on it. So between that vehicle and then four was up around $84,000. Ammunition prices skyrocketed for us, so that got us up. We never keep a stockpile just because of cost, so we got hit with some things this year with two guys or two deputies we had to hire. They'll be going to the academy for about 4 months, and then we had two that have to go out and recertify as firearms instructors, so it took a lot of ammunition, so we had to get some purchased for that. And then let's see what else. We had one of the resignations was from the courthouse. Deputy screening station, so we just have a part-timer filling in there, corrections officer, part-time correction officer, and retired deputy, which saved me money instead of paying overtime to full-time, but those all kind of come into play. Otherwise, budget overall, that $84,000 missing, we wouldn't look quite as bad, obviously, so we did have an offer from a citizen step up, and he knew we'd been trying to get handguns the last couple budgets, and I can't see my way clear to get it done. There's something else comes up. So they offered to help purchase those weapons for us. So we're trying to get that number together for them and work through that process. So we'll see where that ends up at. We had, there's LB-51, 110, and 472 that the testimony you'll see is attached to, from the sheriffs. We were up there, I think, last week talking to the Judiciary Committee. I have since Monday spoke to Senator Dorn, and he's on board on, understands the concern on it, and he sees where, especially LB-51, will be an increase to budgets. They went in double the amount of our annual training, which is costly, obviously. But that's one he's aware of. The other one, the LB-110, is where they're wanting an officer when he's in a deadly force situation to stop and make sure he's used every other means of less lethal force before he does deadly force, which obviously makes no sense because by then the officer could be killed. Now that decision is made in a split-second decision, and he does that off the training that he's had over the years. So that's concern, as well as under that LB-110. They're wanting to change the current standards of Nebraska law for assessing use of deadly force. So you can read it there, kind of give you an idea, but the Sheriff's Association, we are opposed to all three of these bills. LB-472 is, they're mandating an officer, if he sees another officer, which he feels is using excessive force, they're supposed to intervene, mandated. Well, that's hard to do because you might show up as backup and not know all the situations that the first deputy or officer ran into. So they're opposing that as well. They're not good for law enforcement and not good for the budget. So we're working through that process. We have hired some new deputies now, so we're transitioning in as I can into one patrol car. As I hire these people, I tell them that you might have the opportunity to share, and they have had no problem with that. For the new board members, some time back, the union took a CIR, and the court said, in the past, if they had a patrol car, there's a benefit, you have to negotiate all benefits away. Now I can start doing this with new hires, and that's been going pretty well there. So hopefully that'll save us some money as that progresses there. I'm working with Roger. We have this statewide radio system. We're trying to get that bill gone. We don't use that system anymore. It did not work for us. They continue to send us bills, and I don't know where Roger's at on that. If you can update anybody, Roger, on the state.
I'm trying to get them to waive that period that we have to wait.
Okay, 6 months. So right now, we have 3 months that we're sitting on past due, and Roger's hopefully working on that and get something worked on it, because that money could go someplace else a lot better right now. And let's see what else. I have the last sheet there on the back of the known expenses I have as of the 5th of this month. We try to figure out what we have for sure. Going through that, we end up with around $66,000 left on it. And that's not counting, of course, what things Roger working on. Or the $12,000 that Terry just mentioned would come off that $66,000. So that's kind of in a ball, just in a nutshell, kind of where we're at on things. So,
Gus, yep. Through the Sheriff's Association, have you guys had on LB 51? Have you had much discussion, or has anybody really said much about if there's more training hours? What's that going to do as far as more time away from the road for our guys? And the second question I got is that become more encumbering? Has it become more of a problem for part-time?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, I just spoke to a part-timer that I had yesterday, and I said, if they increase this training anymore, it's not hardly worth having part-time anymore because of the expense on it. That's the problem we have with that LB 51 is, I'm sure they'll say, with those hours you have, additional hours, if they do that, well, you can have like 8 or 10 hours can be on computer, you know, online. But some of that's going to have to be done somewhere else, which is going to cost money. And when I talked to Senator Dorn, he was well aware when he saw that would be an increase on a budget substantially. Because if you're jail certified like I am, that's 18 hours. We worked 20 hours for law enforcement. Now they added 2 more hours here recently because of the de-escalation and anti-bias training. We've got to do that now every year. And then you want to go up to 40. So that's a lot of hours, you know, for everybody. So that's why we're kind of against that. It's just if you're doing your job, you're training anyway, you can train yourself to death, and you're not getting out doing your job. So, yes.
Sheriff, I saw $84,000 for 4 installs and 4 de-installs. What do our de-installs cost?
Well, it's kind of depends on the vehicle. Last one we had was the old K9 unit. We got rid of that for like $550.
But we didn't de-install anything in that because everything went with it.
Oh, well, we took some stuff out we kept. That's why it's only $550. I have to go back and see if they break that down on the estimate for the actual de-install. But they've been running, depending what equipment they can reuse. We've had some as low as $8,000, but they usually run 10 to 12.
So we'll have 3 vehicles to surplus out now?
We should have, well, we should, yes. We try to keep one of the best used ones for like school cars when they go back and forth academies, so we have to pay them mileage, which is much cheaper for us to do it this way.
But would you replace whatever you were using with one of these 3 then? I mean,
oh yeah, these are
so we'd have 3 vehicles out to get rid of now.
Some should be coming out, yes. Yep.
You know, I know it goes back to general, but that might help offset some of that cost. Are they in decent shape at all?
Well, people ask me that. I usually tell them it's...
Of course they are. They're in great shape. Never mind.
We maintain them to a high degree, you know, but it's still a used patrol car. And when you sell them, I try to make sure to have all the maintenance records in there so they can kind of see what it was. So we've done pretty well on Purple Wave. Now, we've got to decide COVID hit us, and so we haven't got anything done with us on sale. We're going to have a separate sale in the back lot there with some of the old evidence that we can get cleared out, put the cars there. That's for the board to kind of decide, but at least we'll have some things to move out, so...
What about your Humvees? Have you thought any more about getting rid of one of those?
One will be going on the sales. Because yeah. We only have one equipped out, and I'm not spending the money on the other one to do it. So we should make money on that as well, according to what they tell me. So,
anything else for the sheriff?
You look good in a Humvee.
I like my old truck.
His truck has a better bumper than that Humvee, probably.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Road and Bridge, Mr. Jergens.
First off, the Gage County Township Association and the Gage County Board of Supervisors will hold the annual public meeting on Thursday, February 25th, 2021, at 7 p.m. at the American Legion. Historically, this is a highly attended meeting. I would suggest, you know, if you're available to come, because I think the township people like to see that.
You changed locations?
Yeah. Yep. Happy hour starts at 5 o'clock.
You might want to start it at 4, so they'd really be happy.
This could change the whole room, I guess.
No cookies.
Yeah, no more cookies. It'd be peanuts.
The bids for culverts will be opened by Pawnee County on 2/23/21. I know this is beating a dead horse. 140 motor grader. The engines is a pile of shit. So,
you repeat that using appropriate language.
Get a remanufactured engine with a 2-year warranty. Cost approximately $40,000.
I don't know why it's down there.
The other thing, I had spoke to Galen Monday after the snow removal, and I commended him, or told him to commend the help. I didn't travel all of Gage County, but certain areas of it, kind of in my area, and I thought the road crew did an excellent job of removing the snow and everything. I mean, the trucks are out, snow is removed, most roads are clean, and that's hard to do with conditions we had. So, with that being said, anything else, Galen?
Maybe we go through.
I'd second what Terry just got done saying. Actually, not just this last snow, but through this last 3 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And I've noticed even, you know, I've been on some of the roads, but I've noticed even that seems like the trucks are hitting them, and then they're getting back around, and the state's just hitting the highway the first time. So seems like our guys have been on top of the ball.
Yeah, and that's what I – and widening them out and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not just a one-day deal.
And I've heard zero complaints.
I have, too. None. Yep. I do have one more thing. This letter is addressed to the County Board of Supervisors. Attention, Eric Thiemann, Chairman, and Terry Juergens, Road and Bridge Chair. This letter is from Dr. Dwayne and Vi Koenig. They live approximately 3 miles straight west of the coke plant, or in there someplace on the north side of the road, I know. That's been a it's basically a township road, and there's a lot of heavy traffic, I guess, going this way. They were just writing some letters basic to the Koch brothers for possibly some assistance. Ain't going to happen. We went down that road before, and they lied to us. So, anyway, just to, everybody knows that there's some concerns on that road due to heavy truck traffic, and I know it's been there for a while. So that's it, Mr. Chairman.
It may be something we need to address in the future, is if that area becomes more industrialized, or possibly even if there's permits for new construction out there, how that may be affected and potential additions to that road. Mr. Juergens?
And isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the last mile, Jefferson County? Is it the last mile? Or is that all gauge?
I think that's ours.
That's all gauge? Okay. All right.
I guess one, Galen, maybe Galen has the answer to this question already. Of the traffic on Hickory Road, do we know as far as the big trucks, you know, the anhydrous trucks for the most part, some grain trucks, you know, are they traveling that last stretch of 4 miles, or are they using the blacktop more? It seems to me, from what I've seen, it seems like the trucks are not frequent flyers on Docks Road. There's a lot of personal car traffic on there, but not as much heavy truck, maybe. Yeah, is that
there's still quite a few that cut through from Highway 4 4 mile stretch, but not near as heavy as it was prior.
That's
still not seeing a lot of traffic.
Yeah, it as far as personal cars, there's a lot of traffic on there, but as far as traffic, it seems to me anyway, when I've been around it, it seems like it's lower than what it used to be.
I believe it has went down, yes, but there's still quite a bit on it.
And Gary, I might have said truck traffic, but I think you're correct on that. I think there's a lot more smaller vehicle traffic that's heading west. We'll take that cut off because of the new road there and keep right on going. I didn't mean it was truck traffic, I guess, per se, but I'm sure there are some.
I was just asking out of curiosity. Yeah.
There's a fair amount of traffic, though. I mean, we'll run that way, running over to 4 from North Beatrice because it's quicker, and Hickory Road's a really nice road, and you save a little bit of time, but I think the primary truck traffic's hitting the paved roads. My goodness. Anything else for Road and Bridge? Mr. Lytle has requested that we move the closed session for personnel up before the 1 and 6 year. I know Lisa and Galen may end up waiting for a little while longer because of that, but the 1 and 6 may take a while, I'm guessing. So without counselor, can we move?
Yeah, you can adjust your agenda.
We'll just adjust that ahead so that we can move forward with these. So at this time, at 9:33 on the clock, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of the needless injury to reputation of an individual, a closed session for personnel.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn to go into closed session at 9:33. Please vote.
Oh my God.
7-0. Motion is approved. I would ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 9:59 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in open session. Along with the change in agenda, I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove comprehensive juvenile services community plan and authorize the chairman to sign it.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Ms. Lyons, would you like to go over that at all? Or?
Sure. I'll just walk through it real quickly. This is the plan that we have to do every 3 years. Now they've moved it to every 4 years. Just as a background, 6 months ago, they started collecting data on the county, through the courts, through the schools, through... they use the risk needs protective factor survey that we do through the region. They use several different pieces of data and still get it wrong, but we work with it. They had said in their data that Gage County does not have a poverty problem, which I argued, and they put in several other pieces, racial disparities, things like that. Since our county has a 96.8 7%, I believe, rate of white folks in our county, then I think that the numbers are off because of the way they collect it, or 96.3, sorry. All of those factors go together. We identify what systems or what resources we have in the county. As you can tell from the different charts, we have a lot of prevention, some diversion services, and alternatives to detention, and then they ask us to identify the gaps in the program or in the county as for juveniles. For juveniles, well, actually, I think we did adults and juveniles. What we came up with was the same thing that we came up with 3 years ago when we did this plan, is that we have a problem with truancy that we have not found an effective way to address, but that's one of the things that we will address in our grant that is due at the end of March that I will be coming back for. We have also identified that juveniles, there's mental health crisis calls that we cannot say that we are dealing effectively with as law enforcement, as mental health professionals, as the school. So if you go through all of it, you'll see that our priorities are the same as they were 3 years ago. We have a priority in keeping our infrastructure, which is the community justice team, which I invite any of you to be a part of those meetings. I would encourage it, actually. That would be very helpful if someone from the county board was a part of those meetings. We have a concern with attendance in our county, not just Beatrice Public Schools, but Southern Freeman and Diller O'Dell as well, and some students out of Tri-County that reside in Gage County. We have a concern with mental health and the services available, as well as substance abuse, and how that correlates to law violations, things like that. This is just a plan. It's due the first part of March. I have included everything that I will include with them there. So if you have any questions.
Not specifically to this, but as we hear about on the news with kids being out of school, luckily our kids are in school here. Have you seen an increase in depression or those mental illnesses or in any substance use in our area?
Yes. We have, just this morning, I was at Hope Squad at the middle school, and we talked about that. And I've heard several people address that. Coming out of COVID, we are going to see increases in depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues related to specifically our kids, but it's in our entire population, because the way we communicate right now is through social media, and we all know how damaging that can be. Substance use, I don't know about our kids specifically, but there's been a huge increase in alcohol sales through the pandemic. I'm sure that you've read that in the paper.
So Nebraska peaked peak alcohol sales now. Yeah. Are you involved with the Hope Squad at the junior high or middle school then?
Yeah.
Sounds like that's a really good program from what I hear the kids say.
They, and actually through the high school too, through the region grant, through my work with the coalition, I pay for the curriculum, which is a large amount in grant money to the school for the high school and the middle school. And it's suicide prevention. But we train, I think we have about 15 right now at the middle school kids. Just watch out for, be intentional. Watch out for kids who show some warning signs. And if you do have a concern, obviously talk to an adult, because we know that kids, if they are struggling, they'll talk to each other, but they don't talk to adults.
That middle school program basically served as a model for several other areas. They saw the success of that, and that's largely due to a lot of it's the kids that have picked it up, and mm-hmm. as well as the sponsors. They've done a real good job, and they actually went to the middle school first before they went to the high school,
yeah. which
anybody knows anything about working with middle schoolers, they'll challenge you. Yeah, but great program. That's a compliment to those kids, and the teachers and stuff identified some of these kids, but a lot of them, they're volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
They put their hand there, they wanted to do it.
So you're getting a good cooperation with schools, with the yes. school system? Okay.
Yeah.
So we can do what we need to do.
Yeah. We're another part of the coalition that we've done is provide all the schools in the county with social-emotional learning materials for at least the elementary, some of the middle schools too. And they're using those, and hopefully we can build on that too. So that's going to help in the future with our mental health problems. Our kids are more prepared, I hope, to deal with some of the things.
Good. That's wonderful.
Any other questions for Christina? We have a motion by Juergens and a second by Dorn to approve the Comprehensive Juvenile Services Community Plan and authorize the chairman to sign. Any additional discussion? If not, I'd ask you to vote. 7 in favor, the motion carries. We will get that signed. Do you want that right now?
No, I'll come back.
All right.
Get it later.
Okay.
And then
make him sign it now.
Oh, that's fine. And then at the end of the month, I will be back with the grant approval for grant approvals. They're due, I think, at the end of March, but we'll get them done early. So.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hop back up in order here and move on to Galen. We'll discuss the 1 in 6 plan. Did you bring any fancy multimedia for us to look at?
Nope. Okay. On the proposed 2021 one-year plan, there is 46 projects on this plan, and on the six-year plan, there is 27 projects. I'll go down through the list of projects quickly. If you have any questions, stop me and I'll try to answer them. First one, 1017, is east of 28 Claytonia, and this is to replace the 95-foot truss bridge with another bridge. Originally, this was turned in for round 5 of the county bridge match program, and it was not selected. This will be probably resubmitted again for round 6 this fall. 1064 is shouldering on Wymore Liberty Overlay. 1074, North 4 Logan, it's replacing a bridge with the culvert. 1087, East 23 Paddock, is it replace 84-inch pipe with a 108-inch pipe. 1091, east of 12 Lincoln, this is replacing a bridge with a box culvert. This was a round 3 bridge match project, and it was a bid on, and it is to be built this year. East of 2 Adams, or 1096, it's a bridge to be replaced with a box. It was a round 5 bridge match project. It was not selected. East of 34, which is 1097, is a truss bridge to be replaced with pipe. East of 34 Rockford, with 1097, was another truss bridge replaced with pipe. And 1099 is north of 35 Paddock, and this is also a truss bridge replaced with pipe. Now, these last three that I talked about were round 4 projects that were selected, and they are presently Pawnee County was lead county on this, and they are out to bids with Pawnee County on that. The east of 35 Blakely is 1101, 1102, east of 1 Lincoln, 1103, north of 17 Philly. These are all truss bridges. They were bridge match projects for round 5. These three locations were submitted to be replaced with box culverts. None of those were selected this go-around either. 1125 is Holmesville South Overlay, 4.6 miles. 1133 is north of 30 Hooker, and that is a box culvert replacing a small concrete bridge structure. 1141 east of 5 Blakely is a timber bridge replaced with a metal pipe. 1151 north 18 Lincoln is a concrete box to be replaced with 84-inch pipe. 1153 east of 3 Highland is another bridge to be replaced with a 72-inch pipe. 1156 east of 13 Holt is a county asphalt road, a little 16 by 20 bridge, and sizing that to be replaced with pipe. 1164 east of 22 Blakely, that has been sized, it'll be replaced with pipe. 1175 north of 29 Hooker, that is a culvert to be replaced with a bigger culvert. 1177 is north of 15 Hanover, that is a pipe to replace with a bigger pipe. 1178 north of 16 Hanover is a pipe that will be replaced with a new pipe the same size. 1182 is east of 27 Island Grove. That is a truss bridge that was turned in for round 5 bridge match, and it was not selected either. North of 29 Hooker is a concrete frame bridge. Would be replaced with a 84-inch pipe. 1186 north of 25 Sherman. This is a little timber bridge. Be replaced with twin 72-inch pipe. 1188 north of 28 Blakely. This is a small bridge to be replaced with the pipe. It's currently being sized. 1189 is armor coat and paint striping. DeWitt 8 miles. 1190 armor coat and paint striping. Claytonia North 2 miles. 1191 is armor coat and paint striping. Ellis North 6 miles. 1192 is armor coat and paint striping. North 19th 3.5 miles. 1193 is armor coat and paint striping. Blue Springs River Bridge East on the B line 1.2 miles. And 1194 is armor coat and paint striping. Wymore Cemetery, 0.45 miles. 1195 is armor coat and paint striping. Blue Springs Cemetery, 0.8 miles. 1196, armor coat, paint striping. 1170, Highway 77 and Broad Street East, 0.14 mile. 1197 is armor coat and paint striping. Barnston Road, 4.3 miles. 1198 is armor coat and paint striping. Wymore West, 3.5 miles. And 1199 is armor coat and paint striping. Blue Springs, 0.9 mile, Broad Street and River Drive South. And 1200 is east of 5 Lincoln, and we're replacing twin pipe that is currently being sized. 1203 is east of 4 Highland, replace existing pipe with triple 60-inch round equivalent pipe. 1204 is north of 11 Lincoln, replace the 36-inch pipe with twin 72-inch pipe. 1205 north of 23 Adams is replace 60-inch pipe with a new 60-inch pipe. 1206 north 12 Adams is replace a 4x5 concrete box with a 54-inch pipe. 1207 is north of 21 Philly, replace 48-inch culvert with twin 60-inch culverts. 1208 is east of 23 Philly. It's a 24x16 bridge that was turned in for a round 5 bridge match. It was selected, and it will be the bridge will be replaced with 308-inch by 43-foot pipe. North of 31 Midland is replace a 51-inch by 34-foot culvert. It's being sized. 1211 is South First Overlay for 1 mile going north of East Dorsey Road. And that's it for the one-year projects.
Galen, looks like you got your work cut out for you.
Got a lot of pipe to lay this summer, yes.
I hope the weather holds.
I do, too.
I think you better get started in a few weeks.
I wish we could.
Galen, the Claytonia Bridge Project, what's your feelings on that as far as getting accepted into the bridge match program?
Well,
should we start putting money aside to do that on our own?
Yes. In fact, we talked about that, I believe, last year or year before, have Minnelli working on that, designing it, because sooner or later, this has to be replaced. And this current bridge match project program does run out in 2013, and whether it'll be extended, I don't know. But one way or the other, this bridge, we need to get it designed and be ready to go, even if it does or does not get the funds. Sooner or later, it's got to be replaced.
Sooner probably than later.
Probably, yes.
And we can quit spending all our money down to Odell and do something at Claytonia. That'd be good.
Well, this bridge definitely has to go.
Galen, approximately at the time, the discussion was that's about a $750,000 bridge. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe they got it estimated at $823,000 to rebuild that.
It's called nine. Yeah.
Yeah. So the new one will be 130 foot long by 28 foot wide, continuous concrete span structure. So
about 2 miles north out of Claytonia, what's that go to?
Where does it go to?
Yeah, I mean, that's
Lancaster County.
Into Lancaster, yeah, up to the blacktop there outside of Hallam. So there's a lot of traffic on that 2 mile stretch. I don't know where it all comes from, but it is a well traveled road. Any other questions on that?
Okay. Any adds, subtracts, suggestions? Nice work, Galen. I guess this is a good time, too. I'll be talking to Terry here soon. We've got some potential templates maybe to put out an application for an assistant superintendent. There's always a chance that this could be Galen's last year. He's trying to decide if he's signing on for another 5 years. But that application will be going out here sometime, because that'll start integrating into a one-year plan and working on stuff like that too.
Let me give you a little self-assurance here. I talked to Galen, and I told him, Galen, as long as I'm here, you're not leaving. So we got 2 years left.
All right. Well, that's taken care of. Well, no action needs to be taken on the 1 and 6 at this time.
We'll have a public hearing next meeting.
Don said we'll have a public hearing on it in the next meeting at 9 o'clock on the 24th.
Yep. And then a resolution to approve the 1 and 6 after that.
Yep. Eric, is this the time to ask about what's all in the 1 and 6? There's something that I would like to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
One of the things, one of the roads I'd like to see completed, and I know there's others, but the Virginia Blacktop, if it could be, you know, what can we get that on a schedule? What's it take? I'm unfamiliar with this. I don't know what the history is on it. Well, I've heard some history on it, but that road, especially the town of Virginia, really suffers with the amount of dust and grain truck traffic and stuff there. There's been people move out because of the dust. And I think we need to give Virginia some priority. That road was apparently scheduled to build years ago, and the money was pulled to do a road someplace else in the county, is the way I understand it. And I'd like to see that road become a priority, as, of course, we can get it, could get it done efficiently and at a good price.
You're talking adding additional asphalt miles.
So. Yes.
And that'd be the first 4 miles?
3 miles.
Three miles.
Going south.
Yes. Yeah,
those 3 miles are, and they have been on the six-year plan for probably 3-4 years, maybe longer. You're talking about east of 10, east of 15, and east of 22 Sherman. That's 10, 12, and this is a six-year plan. It's down for grading and culvert replacement. And then those same 3 miles, 10, 16, is down for asphalt paving. This was put on by a request from a prior board member several years ago. And it is on, that's one step for long-range planning, is to get it on a six-year plan. So,
Don, I will say, just like asking about those 2 miles north of Claytonia, we've got approximately 157 miles of hard surface road, 156, 157. We're currently trying to maintain those. Adding asphalt's a tough one, or adding hard surface road, just like the letter we got today that Terry read from Doc. That'll be additional miles that they want over there. Everybody wants hard surface road, and I've said we may need some more hard surface road to some of these developments up north as well. So that is on the 1 and 6. It's adding new blacktop's tough without getting rid of something else. I mean, we're, for our income, we've got a lot of road.
Yeah, and I understand that, but being new, I don't know what the process is or what's been discussed, what the priorities are, and I guess I'd like to have a, at some point, have a discussion on this.
This is a good time for it at the public hearing. It's a good time for it as well. If we want to add something to the 1 and 6, or if a member wants to, I guess this is a question now. I don't remember how we've done that in the past. Do we motion and vote on adding something to the 1 year, 1 and 6?
Yeah, it'd be like adjusting any proposal.
Would that be after our public hearing probably then, that would be the right time for that?
That's up to, I think, the board, if, you know, if they want to wait and hear everybody's comments and then choose how they amend it. I mean, that's up to you guys. You can do it one at a time.
Mr. Juergens?
One thing, and I've always looked at this in the past, what kind of traffic's on that road? What's the, how many cars, how many vehicles are on that road?
Truck traffic's getting more.
But what is it? 100? 500? You know what I'm saying? Adams Road was in the 800s, I believe, when it was checked. Odell Road's in the 6s. We can't just go building more roads.
It'd be great to.
If the traffic count is here where it doesn't deem that necessary. That's all I'm saying. I would like to see a traffic count on that road before, you know, we even think about doing anything.
Well, I would say that traffic count is a priority. It is a good reason, but not entirely. You got the Virginia community there that you wouldn't want to live there because of the dust.
I live in the dust all the time.
So do well, I. You don't have the traffic past that. You don't have the co-op sitting right across the road from you. And
but I don't know if that's a valid reason.
It also, school bus route, it's a major route, and it would have more traffic if it was blacktop. There is a lot of blacktop up to it. Now, I can see, not like your 2 miles, Claytonia, nothing against Claytonia, there's a lot of traffic on it. But it's kind of like the beeline east of Blue Springs when it took out. It went 2 miles, and then where did it go? It goes clear to Pawnee City or Burchard, gravel. So what's 2 more miles in that regard? But on this one from Virginia to Liberty, it's blacktop except to the last 3 miles to the highway. And it's just, it always irritated me when I worked for NRCS and had to drive that road. I always think, why in the world is this road not finished? And I can see the same argument for Hickory now.
I think that one would, if you're, you know, adding that, or is it, I didn't see it as not on the six-year plan.
What's that?
Finishing Hickory.
No.
But I agree there's some roads that probably could be eliminated, but what's it cost to eliminate an existing blacktop? And that's what I would need educated on, is the what it takes to maintain it as a blacktop versus converting it and then having to maintain it as a gravel.
Would you have time to do a traffic study in 2 weeks? Or would you have results back?
If the roads are cleared off so I can put my counters across them, yes.
Ooh, that might be a bad time, too, because we've got snow coming.
We get more snow.
We might just have one count, ba-bump, and that's it.
Normally, I leave them out for a week.
Galen already said it's on the six-year. What Don's talking about is on the six-year 6 year
anyway. Yeah, that's what I said. It's on the 6 year plan.
Yeah, we can get a traffic count on it this spring. There's no worry for that.
We don't know.
I thought you were talking about bumping it to the one.
That's what I thought too. I'm sorry.
I'm inquiring, and I wanted to be sure it was on 1 and 6 year.
If we can
get it done sooner, great. I'm not trying to push it into something that it makes it financially difficult for us. Of course, no matter when we do it, it could be financially difficult. But to schedule it and do it appropriately, but get it planned to do. I mean, even if we just did the 1 mile south of the highway past Virginia, but it seems foolish to me not to complete it.
Well, I would suggest any changes or any adds or subtractions or anything to the 1 or the 1 and 6 to do it after, and make a motion to do that after our public hearing in 2 weeks, and then see how the board ends up voting. I mean, if anyone has anything they want to add or change, do you have something?
Yeah, I don't think this is the year to move that to the 1 year unless Galen's got other projects he wants to take off, because the cost of it, we just won't, it won't fit in the budget this year.
We've been very aggressive with.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask, Galen, is that Don seems to be concerned with Virginia. Is the community of Virginia, any of that road part of the Virginia community, or is it all county, it's county road all the way up to the state highway, isn't it?
As far as I know, it's all county maintained, yes, for those.
But is that Virginia, I mean, we maintain it, but is that part of the community of Virginia? Is it their street? Or
not that I'm aware of.
No. Yeah, it's outside of town far enough that it's probably county road, isn't it?
It'd be right along the edge of the town limits, yes.
Yeah.
Is, and I probably should know this, is Virginia incorporated yet?
I'm not sure, it may be
like Rockford, where
Derek,
if it's
Kimberly has something to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got a question. Is this something, I know this, have something be where, like the Hickory Road, to finish that? I mean, there's also other places to connect, be able to connect places to, I think, was it Chestnut? We just talked about connecting Pickerel Blacktop to the one to DeWitt. I mean, there's, and like the Virginia one, but we've talked about a bond issue before. Is that something that we could maybe talk about, like where the people vote on if that's something they want to add to it?
I mean, that's something we could always put out there.
Until this six.
Yeah.
That your six is done, don't even think about it, because it'll never do it. You'll waste your time. The last time there was a bond issue, Gary, I'll miss somebody, but
Mr.
I know
Bauman.
Gary was heavily involved at the time, Bauman. We went around.
Was involved with that?
Yeah, there were other area people that were involved, and we went around, and it was a sell job, because nobody wants to throw more taxes than what you've got now on yourself. But it took some
promoting
to do it. I mean, it isn't something you just throw out here and, well, let's put it up for a vote. There's got to be a lot of time spent, or you're wasting your time.
And to go along with that, too, we have talked about that until the Beatrice 6 is paid off, cooling our jets on anything like that. But as you guys came around and talked to everyone, just to reiterate again, this was a successful year. I think Doug and I talked about it on the radio a little bit. That road bond that was set to expire in 2013 that you guys put in place and the people voted for, it was paid off this year, so it was paid off early. I'm sorry, not 2013.
It was
a 2013 bond set to expire. Yeah, really, we did a great job on that. It was set to mature in 2023, and it was paid off now, this year, last year. So as a bond is put out, that's a good track record showing the county responsibly spent that money, got a little bit more road than they anticipated, I think, on 66th Road, going up to Hanover Church. That got a little more mileage in there and still paid that off early. So that would be a good suggestion in the future.
Well, and I think people accept, you know, they know we've got this Beatrice 6 debt. And as long as, like, the people around Virginia know that we've got it on our mind, we got to get Beatrice 6 behind us, and we got to do one step at a time, I think it's been this way this long. But the other thing I want to inquire about is I've seen in Kansas where there's a guy right north of Oquito that they treat the county. I think he pays the county to do it, but the county treats the gravel road so there's no dust. Has anybody in Gage County ever done that, or we ever heard of it?
I know they used to, but it's big time illegal now.
It used to be that
people would spray oil and stuff.
This is a biodegradable something that, and I thought about getting it even for my own driveway.
I checked into it,
and you got to buy it in bulk. And the Marshall County, the way under when I checked into it, they buy it, and then they apply it for people, and then they send them a bill for it, so the resident actually pays for it. But that would be a great thing for, in the meantime, for Virginia, if we could apply something to that gravel road to keep the dust down. Do you want to look into that, Galen? Is that something?
I can try to get a cost on it. I know what once you treat it, especially if it's on a heavy travel road, you got to keep your motor grader off of it.
Well,
because if once you work it, then you got to retreat it. That is one thing.
Those things we need to find out. But
yeah.
I go to Marysville through Oquito, and it works. I don't know how often they apply it, and it's a county road, pretty heavily traveled road. And it works past that guy's place.
Sets up like a hard top, or?
Oh, it just.
It's probably like a sweeping compound or something.
No, I don't know. It doesn't. It just, the dust does not fly from it. It's like wetting it down. It's like if you watered it, only it isn't slimy, of course.
With the heavy traffic, they don't get potholes or whatever else?
Because it's still a gravel road. Because
you can't run across it with the... Yeah, I guess I'd be interested to hear more. Interesting.
Just go south of Barnston to Oquito.
Yeah, been down there.
They buy a lot of low dust rock close by there.
And you're going down there
Drive fast enough, you don't see the dust.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Well, or you take
you the look like top. A rocket ship going down the road.
You take the blacktop from Lone Elm to Oquito off 77, then just north on the county road.
All right, if you'll
don't
take
like the dust, move to the city.
Right now, it wouldn't be a good time to see it because I'm sure it's got snow. You know, the dust isn't bad right now.
Well, if you want to talk, maybe you could even call down to Marshall County and talk to them some or look into that a little and see what you come up with. But, yeah, if any changes or suggestions, additions, anything, I'd say let's look at that if they're still there after the public hearing. With that, I'll ask for a motion to approve or disapprove resolution number 21-02. Resolution 21-02 for signing of the program agreement BL2103 NDOT project number STWD-CBMP5 NDOT control number 00974D NDOT project name. County Bridge Match Program.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens. Second by Lytle. Do you have anything pertinent for us on that?
Well, this is just for the agreement for the project we just got received, East of 23 Philly, what this goes to.
And Galen just went over that with us. Any discussion on this? We have a motion by Juergens, second by Lytle. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. It is approved. Ask for a motion to approve or disapprove County Bridge Match Program Agreement, Gage County, State of Nebraska Department of Transportation Project Number STWD-CBMP-5, State Control Number 00974D, CBMP Control Number 00974D, Subsection C, County Bridge Match Program Agreement, BL-2103.
Way to read it, Tiemann. Wow.
Almost like he knew what he was doing.
uh,
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. This is just signing the agreement for that bridge in Philly.
Yes, same thing.
Philly Township. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit number 2021-1 for placement of temporary asphalt concrete plant located in the southwest quarter of section 24, Claytonia Township.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Juergens. And this is up there, I believe, north of Highway 41, just a little off of where it was the last time.
Yep.
Any discussion on this?
Go
ahead, Emily.
I'd just like to say a little bit of concern just because it moved a lot closer to somebody's house. And I know he said that he gave his phone number, but
everybody needs to sign both of
them. I believe this is a Werner plant.
Yeah.
This one, the setbacks, I believe it's a minimum for an asphalt plant of 1 mile from any residence.
I had just got a call. He wasn't making a big deal out of it. He just was concerned.
Is it that far? A mile?
I think it's a minimum of 1 mile, isn't it?
Was it?
Or is it a half mile?
Half a mile.
Oh, I'm off. Okay. Half mile.
The half a mile. As far as the EPA, the smell, probably odor.
I thought it was a long ways. Or half mile seems like a long ways when you're trying to spot one in, I know.
I will note that we had no opposition at our hearing, so, and you had no opposition at this hearing either. So obviously, hopefully that individual felt comfortable about coming to us, but we did not get a call either.
Wasn't the discussion we had earlier, he was contacted, and all he asked was he had a number to contact if he had a problem?
That is correct.
Isn't that, yeah.
Yep.
So I thought.
Hours of operation, too, Gary, was
a question that he had, yeah.
I haven't worked with this company in particular, but I know years ago when there was one on South 77, there was a child with lung condition nearby, and there was a lot of dust from the trucks. That company made every effort to more than make it right for the people. And they don't want problems. They don't want calls in either. So I suppose on that we'll monitor it, and if there's any issues, let us know, and we'll address them.
He didn't want to make it wasn't a big deal. He just wanted to make it known that he was close and was a little bit concerned.
Hopefully, being on pavement, that'll be a lot better than on a rural road. That is right off the highway, isn't it?
That is correct.
Any other discussion?
It borders the highway right north of it, don't it?
What's that?
It borders the highway, don't it?
The plant will border the highway and the highway access, yes, right, which was approved by the right-of-way with the State Department for that driveway, yeah.
All right, we have a motion by Lytle and a second by Juergens. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove designating a Gage County board member as the voting member for the Engage annual meeting held on February 16th, 2021. Each of you got the bios emailed out to you on each of the potential candidates. Each year... We're missing one other one on here. Jerry Juergens. Don, did you sign both of these?
Oh, maybe I only signed one.
Look at that. I'm like a proofreader now.
How are you?
Each year we have our voting. We're a voting member at the annual meeting for Engage. Trevor went over the candidates a little bit. If anyone hasn't seen the bios for the people that are running, we have them in hard copy right here. I guess I would ask that you approve me or another member that'll be at the annual meeting to vote on behalf of the county.
Make a motion to approve Eric as our voting member.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Lytle.
And Dorn and Byers. And
Dorn and Byers to designate myself as a voting member at the Engage meeting, which will be held on February 16th.
So
what I have.
Thursday the 16th at 5:30 at Classics.
Eric, I guess just a second Terry's nomination or suggestion with the caveat, or are you happy with that still? It seems to be operating. You've done it, and it seems to work fine. And are you good with continuing on that way?
As far as voting?
As far as you being the voting representative for the Gage County Board.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate the county letting me be on Engage. That's a spot I've really liked. I guess as I've talked to you guys, sometimes it takes a lot of time, sometimes it takes very little time, but the more time it takes, the more stuff that's going on. So it's an exciting one to be on. So I appreciate it.
I was our voting member when we started with Engage, and it's a really good organization, and I hope you're going to be able to make it the 16th at 5:30.
I'll make sure I do. And, of course, the board, anyone is invited to come to that as well. There won't be a banquet or anything this year. Not all the hoopla, but there is the meeting. There will be the annual meeting and then a business meeting afterwards. We have a motion by Juergen, second by Lytle. I would ask for you guys to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove response to the FOP grievance on the Christmas Eve pay. This is what the other...
You missed one.
Did I?
We did that already.
Oh, this was what we were going to have in the other part of the closed session. I don't think we need a closed session for this. Sheriff, I don't know if you want to discuss this at all. We had conversations. The FOP did not get paid... or did not get paid as a holiday on Christmas Eve. We talked about this leading up to it. Part of the discussion was Pam was trying to schedule for overtime purposes, not to have extra overtime. Some people would be home if they were paid for Christmas Eve like the rest of the county is. I said, I'm not going to make that call, so we talked to the labor attorney. I figured that was the appropriate route to go. Pigsley looked at it. He gave us a response, and I said, okay, could you give us a more specific formal response? So he did that. He issued a letter, and it said, basically, the county has this specifically spelled out in their handbook that that's one of the 12 holidays that will be paid. The Sheriff's Department, the FOP contract, does not include that language, but has specifically spelled out what days are holidays, which days aren't. If the sheriff or the board changes that, we would be in conflict with the existing FOP contract. Am I right on that?
Pretty much, yeah. That there was no authority given for them to change.
And so then they filed a grievance, but the grievance they filed didn't go through the proper procedure in their contract. So... we responded with that, and from our attorney, again, his response, hey, you didn't go through the proper channels. So now they're going back through and issuing a grievance per their contract, but late, and we had Pigsley prepare a response to the FOP then. Just, I mean, since that's all the legal ins and outs, we're having the lawyers deal with their lawyers. Yeah, and you should have a copy on your desk of the actual response. Roger, have you been involved with this, or have you?
This
is the labor attorney.
Yeah, this is Jerry Pigsley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just as a quick summary of what he's done and what you covered, you got to follow the collective bargaining agreement. That's the arrangement that was negotiated. And so that's what Jerry was saying on the why you have to go back and forth, kind of like you can't just decide, oh, I'm just going to say yes or no. I mean, so I think that's what he was concerned about the first time was even though you guys had a response, you got to do it the right way. Otherwise, you waive your rights, if you will, under the collective bargaining agreement. So that's why he did that.
Okay, there's more to this. I knew there's another piece to this, and I just remembered it looking at this. When we were in negotiations, we had said Terry loves this one, I know. When the president declares a national holiday...
I was going to bring this up again.
The our current handbook for the courthouse, which is us, veterans, and, well, even Extension and the Highway Department, if it's declared a holiday by the president, it's a national holiday. They get a holiday. In negotiations, that had been offered to the FOP in the agreement that they rejected. So it didn't go forward into the new agreement because it wasn't asked. We started over, and it was just a wage thing that basically was changed. That's why this wasn't included. I was thinking, yeah, they took us to CIR and then ended up going back through mediation. We came to an agreement. But that's why this was an issue, because Christmas Eve is not one of the included holidays. I misspoke. It was because it was a national holiday. So we've basically gone through the process. I said I wouldn't make that call, and we had the lawyer come up with the decision that we thought was right, but we wanted to make sure it was right. So this is basically just to approve sending this response to the FOP, which was prepared by Jerry Pigsley.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sorry for it being so long like that. Moved by Lytle, second by Byers. Any other discussion? We can bring up the hall, Mr. Juergens.
Talk about that now?
We can.
Our vote first.
We could vote on this. And
it won't take me long.
Okay, go ahead and let us know.
On this holiday pay, it's happened twice from my memory. Three times? All right.
The day of mourning, too.
I would like to change your handbook, revisit it. We can declare it a holiday here, but just because the state or the federal declares a holiday doesn't mean we have to. I would like that option left to us, not to the state or the federal government.
And I agree with you on that, Terry. We're putting together, I know you guys love handbook updates, but we will have, I thought we'd get a group of handbook updates together, put them all through at once, and that's for discussion on that.
There's enough paid holidays the way it is. We don't need to keep adding and adding and adding. Okay?
So that'll be on for our updates on our handbook. Motion by Lytle, second by Byers to approve the FOP. Oh, I'm sorry, Don.
Well, we can vote on it. But I just know through my employment with the federal government, there's some of these holidays that
Christmas Eve.
They don't. They may notify you at noon that you've got a holiday.
I'll change it on
for the last couple hours of your work day. Now we're not talking about. I mean, this year you're saying Christmas Eve was designated a holiday for federal employees, correct?
Well, here's how our handbook reads. Our handbook reads that the Christmas Eve from the afternoon is we are closed and employees take their time, their comp time or their vacation time.
Oh, they're closed.
We are closed, but...
But you have to take your comp time?
Right. It's not a paid holiday by the county. Now, this past year, when the president declared that, then that made it a paid one by the county. That's what happened.
Our handbook...
We follow what federal does.
Our policy says if the president and the governor declare a holiday, then... We also do. Day of mourning fell into that also when the former president passed.
That one was a snow day in Washington.
I think there's another. I'm pretty sure there's a third.
Honest to God.
Oh, two mornings?
Two energy presidents?
Longer ago. Not real recent, but yes. There was two presidents, I think.
You follow this, we're sitting here going.
But back to the item. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Byers, to approve the response to the FOP grievance and send that on. Please vote.
Carter.
Is it Carter?
7-0. We will send that.
I'm not sure I can't remember.
Up next, approve or disapprove agreement with G-Works for the census redistricting project. You have that also. What that'll be doing is we're going to have some redistricting. G-Works is what GIS is. It's now called G-Works. Mm-hmm. And we're proposing to go with a better, not the base package redistricting, but a little bit better so that some of the school zones, school districts.
Lines and things.
And some of that, maybe we can shape that so that there are fewer individual ballot designations, so there's fewer splits. If you live across the road and you're Odell and I'm Beatrice, maybe we can move some of those so that they aren't broken up as much, or rural fires, things like that. We'll actually look at the district borders.
We're required every 10 years to redistrict, and what they'll do, the basic doesn't allow us to have any input as far as the changes. They just look at the numbers and they place their lines. The standard or the advance gives us more options that if we want something moved a little differently, we will work. They will work with us, and that's just basically the hourly time, the extra. So,
are you proposing the standard or the advanced?
Standard is 4 hours extra time. The advanced is 8. So if we, and that would be, I would include all you guys if there's things that you want looked at. So that's a determination of whether you want the. Have more input.
And we're probably looking at around $8,000 for this as well.
Additional?
No,
for cost.
What's the additional cost for 4 hours and for 8 hours?
$73.50 and $87.50. And that also gives you
so $160.
Gives you some additional.
Probably
an hour.
$600 bucks. Wow. Between the two, $600 increase.
160 per hour, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Basically, that's, so that's for 8 hours versus 4 hours.
I don't remember being a part of this. Have we done this once,
yeah.
Terry?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
GIS did this then, too.
I don't know if the boundaries changed so much. I know in my district, the boundary came more into Beatrice.
I know we had a lot of conversations.
And Matt
with
came
how we
further this
to,
way or something like that.
Is that first couple of years we were on or something
yeah.
then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it really necessary? I mean, do we need 8 hours? Or?
That's what you don't know, because we don't know how the numbers are going to play out and where our lines are going to fall. I could ask him if we settle with the 4 hours, if we need to go an additional hour or two, how that's calculated.
Yeah, that'd be good to know.
Me.
Yeah.
Because you would think if they need more time, they're not going to just stop.
No. So, I mean, they're going to bill you. And I don't know why it's laid out this way. They proposed this plan to the cities, to all the different, the ESUs, everybody. And he did tell me they are going to try to visit with them, to get them on board with our lines. Because my election lines, as Eric said, that's what creates all the different ballot styles in one area, which costs us money. So the lesser ballots I have, the money I can save with election time too, but it gets confusing. You know, if you're across the road, you might be in one township or ESU, and across the street you're in a different one. That's where we hope the lines can get a little closer together, if we can work with people, get it done.
We have to know now.
He said in order to
4 or 8,
yes.
There's no options afterwards.
The reason that they're getting these out now is because they don't know when the census is going to hit, and they can't. If you are one of the last ones to get on, you will be the last ones to be dealt with. So whether they'll get everything done for you or not.
Do we count illegal aliens or displaced citizens of other countries in the census?
I can't answer that.
Every district.
You count Democrats, don't you?
We do. We have to have a count on them.
Counted twice.
I would move that we approve the agreement with G-Works for the census redistricting project with the standard additional hours, which would be 4 hours, but check into the ability to be able to flex up if we needed to.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. For the 4 hour standard redistricting from G-Works. If there's anything out of the ordinary or oddball on that, we'll bring it back to you guys for additional time. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next is something that Mr. Schuler wanted to put on the agenda, discussion on LB 103 and LB 310. I will admit I left my cheat sheet for these in the pickup.
Well, I can tell you what these are. 103 is Senator Dorn's bill in regards to Beatrice 6 and the state helping us for 2 years with $2 million each of those years. And LB 310, it has to do with reducing inheritance tax.
And what was it going to reduce inheritance tax to? Or was it a complete removal of inheritance?
No, it's not a complete removal.
No, it basically it raises the exempt amounts and reduces the interest, the percentages. So basically it would lower our income from inheritance tax as a county.
Did you just want to discuss these or bring them up and go over them?
Well, we've got an email from NACO in regard to it asking us to be against or give support in against this bill.
The LB 310.
310,
yes, 310.
But the 103 would be something for a support letter from us that would help us out a lot.
I have talked to Senator Dorn in the legislative committee at the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber did, if I remember right, I better not say this wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Chamber voted in support of 103, giving support there. And I believe the Chamber also voted in support of sending a designated person or people up there to testify in favor of 103, the local Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce. We talked about 310 there a little bit as well. I don't know where you guys are on that. Counties really use inheritance fund.
I thought it was something to do with family members.
Well, that's how it, how it's broke down. If you're a close family member, a son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, you get a 1% plus an exempt amount. What right now is $40,000.
This is what it is.
As I read through it, it's like bumping that exempt amount up to like, it eventually get to $150,000. So your smaller estates, you're not going to get much out of them. And that's, I think that's the intent of the bill.
And it also reduces the percentage mm-hmm. on the family member. But now you non-family members also pay, but it's a higher rate. That would be reduced too.
It cuts them all in half, each of the rates, just looking at this.
I was thinking it was half.
Yeah, it basically cuts each of the rates in half that they would pay. Inheritance tax is a tough one. I mean, counties really use it, but your death tax is not a popular thing. I mean, you've paid tax on your property and everything your whole life, and you're getting hit for tax one more time. There's some other proposals that could really hurt family farms and stuff coming up with the proposed death taxes on them. Those are more out of Washington.
They aren't at a state level. They're going to do away with the step-up in basis. And on family farms or any farms, houses, that's a killer.
Oh, and houses, individual homes, a lot of people, their homes are their biggest investment. Some of these, this federal regulation that's being proposed by the current administration, you could inherit a farm, and instead of paying taxes based on what you're getting, you have to pay the difference from if it's a farm bought in 1920 and you inherit it today, you pay the increase immediately on that difference in value from 20 till today. I mean, it's
not when you sell it.
Right.
Dispose of it
when you get
immediately.
It. I mean, it would cripple farms, but those aren't local. Those are the federal administration.
The inheritance tax, and for most people, it's a 1% tax that we see. So, you know, as estate planners, you know, you go, I'll pay 1% anytime. Now, nobody likes to pay any tax, but that's better than paying capital gains tax on that same property, which that's what we always told them. Take the step up in basis, and if you want to sell it later.
And for our county, although we don't operate out of inheritance, Gary's made this point before, buying equipment, doing projects, it's still part of operations. So
yes, it is.
That's how we've done our paving projects last year and the proposed ones. That's the kitty that we'll dip out of for the Claytonia Bridge. I mean, things like that. So we do use, I mean, any emergency rock, anything. So keep that in mind, too, as you're thinking about.
We've used it a lot over the years.
LB 310. But LB 103 could be a big help for us. Anything else on these two bills?
I was looking at the on the legislative thing, and it has here
hearing or notice of hearing already for the 103. And
I think for both of them.
Yeah, so the 103 is on February 19th at 9:30, and the 310 is February 18th at 9:30. So I didn't know if we wouldn't meet again before these two hearings, so I didn't know if we wanted to submit like a letter of support for at least the 103.
And you can also do, I believe you can do online. Because of there the COVID stuff.
When's LB 310?
I haven't done one, but.
Well, it's a comment.
February 18th.
Oh, okay.
The way I understand
1:30?
It.
9:30.
Did everybody see the email that Don forwarded for me that had the information Senator Dorn's office sent me on 310? There's one thing I read in there. That 50% on average, and I suppose this is for the whole state, 50% of the inheritance tax that comes into a county is from out of county, maybe even out of state. So it's not residents of this county that's paying half of this inheritance tax to us. And I think that's something, there's a reason to support this inheritance tax that helps us. And with Beatrice 6, what we have, we're at the limit. I think it's important to Gage County to oppose 310.
That's a selling point, too. I mean, the half-cent sales tax is approximately 40% out of county that we get on the half-cent sales tax, too. Would anybody on Mr. Jurgens?
I guess I agree with that, Donnie. I know I'd rather see that family, you know, low like it is, but if somebody gives it to a great nephew, whatever, that's never been on the place and never worked to pay for the place, I'm just looking about farm now. If that's ever happened, and it has happened, I know in Meyer I'm familiar with, and I think that tax right now is 18%, isn't it, Roger?
Yeah. Yep.
For somebody that's not a relative.
Nothing involved.
Or a very distant one.
But it
typically is a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've got no problem with that happening at that time. I mean, they probably didn't plan on getting her anyway.
So. Would anybody on the board be opposed to any of us going up and testifying in support of 103?
Well, I think it's really important that the board, somebody from the board appears up there and supports Myron's efforts.
Yeah.
Because that's a big.
How many can go legally? We got to be less than four?
If you don't take Don with you.
I think they have, well, like, accidental, like, what do they call it, accidental meetings. It, you don't, I mean, as long as you're not there discussing.
Is there a quorum law?
No, there's no quorum.
If there's no quorum law, I would encourage all of us to go. I mean, we need to, I think it looks good.
What is
that? To show up.
That's at appropriations.
It says room, or for 103, it's room 1525. Appropriations, I think it says. Yeah.
Who's the chairman of appropriations? Does it say on there?
No.
I think it'd be good for one of us to testify. And
I will.
Testimony. All those that are there as county supervisors be acknowledged that we're there. I think that looks good for us here in the county, and it's impressive to those in the legislature.
Emily?
I think the big thing with this is that, like when NACO said that they were going to support it, they pointed out that this is basically only for Gage County, and I think the big thing to point out with this is it's not only for us, it would be for any county that have this massive of a judgment put on a county with that, and the amount of strain that it puts on a county. So it's not just for us. And granted, it's, I think it said in that bill, it's over 25, any judgment over 25 million. Well, if you're looking at only helping 4 million of a 25 million plus judgment, it is not that much. And you're only taxing an individual of the state that way. Like, we have almost 2 million people in the state, so it's less than $2.
We also have more money in the rainy day fund this year, and the state's beat projections on sales tax and things. There is more money available, so there's more potential. But Okay, February 19th, 1:30, room 1525.
9:30.
That's for 3:10.
Both of them are at 9:30.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 1:30. 9:30.
Yep. 3:10 is the 18th at 9:30, room 1524. And then the 103 is the 19th at 9:30 at room 1525.
I don't know if, like, the League of Municipalities or any of those organizations are going to appear or have a position. Because keep in mind, about 4 or 5 years ago, Omaha basically made a comment that they had so much money in their inheritance tax fund, they thought they should give some back to the state or something. And all the little counties out there, which is basically everybody but Omaha, said, whoa, don't do that.
Well, didn't they even give something, donation to some cancer or something or other? I think there was something like that.
They donated to Gage County.
If we can work that out, we'll all be happy. All right, well.
Give them a township road for that.
Right.
Name it after him. Douglas.
Maybe we need a GoFundMe page.
All right, with that, there, Gary?
So for the 103 meeting, do you want to have a statement from this board for somebody to say, or do you want to have somebody, because quite frankly, I don't know that I want it.
Were you going to say you don't know that you want me to go up there?
No, that isn't what I was going to say.
Oh, I thought you said, I don't know that I want Eric.
But while I know everybody around this table, I want everybody needs to understand that if you're going to go up there and represent the county, you're speaking on behalf of the county. You're not speaking on for your own feelings.
Right.
It needs to be representing the county and have that statement. You need to be careful about what you're saying and doing when you represent the county.
Well, and like Emily said, too, it's not so much that first statement that you give and when you testify. That one, that's easy. That's like an opening statement of
right.
trial. Well, it's the closing argument that brings it in. And the questions, which the senators, and don't think they don't have some horns on those.
Yep.
They'll come after you on it. And just like what she said, this is all about Gage County. Yeah. Well, we didn't do that. We didn't kill or send those people to prison. And you got it, like you said, tactfully bring it back that anybody of the 93 counties could get this.
John
the other thing is that you don't want to just, Don, I like the idea of everybody going, but if everybody's not prepared, do not be there.
We need a prepared statement for whoever's going to testify that we all agree on.
But if you're in attendance, they can ask questions of you.
Yep.
So
I see.
You can't just don't show up just to show support, because if you're there and they're aware of who you are and why you're there, they can't ask questions of you.
Well, so you have the right to say
everybody
no.
needs to be prepared if they're there.
And we have the right to say no comment.
That looks bad, though, too. Yeah. Emily?
That's the reason that I was just asking about if this is coming up for, like, if we wanted to do a letter from the board. But pointing out that this is not just, because I already heard it. I mean, even somebody that's supporting it, that they're saying this is for Gage County. Well, it is for anybody with that large of a judgment. And we know firsthand how bad that can.
John,
I think we have pointed out, and sometimes they don't listen, this is affecting us now, but it could happen to anybody
right.
in this state, and that's not without question. It could happen and has. And so people need to understand that this just isn't about Gage County. It's setting a law for this entire state, and that's a huge issue.
John and I testified for the half-cent sales tax and one other bill for Meyer in last year. Would you guys be all right with me coming up with some type of statement or going up and speaking on behalf of the board, hitting the points that how we've dealt with this, how we've gone through the insurance, working through the half-cent sales tax, even though that imposes additional burden, it pays off this judgment more quickly. And I guess last time we brought up our overall budget versus what the actual the actual judgment was, how that affects us, and
what Denny's message, what Denny just said, is I think is
pertinent statewide.
Also. Yeah, that needs to be, because just like Emily said, she's already heard it, and
yeah, I think that needs, what Emily's comments are, needs to be in the.
As far as burdens in this too, the size of this judgment, every county in the state, other than potentially Omaha, Lincoln counties, have a $5 million liability policy. This is a $28 million lawsuit. It's beyond anything that anyone could have planned for. Something that hit home as well was when we talked about when it happened and the age of the communities. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, Emily, if you were even born yet when this happened. So, I mean, that had some effect with some of the senators as well. But then if that's all right with you, I'll go up and make a statement. They can hit me with questions if it happens. And
I'm okay with that. Roger, do we have to vote on, do we need a date?
I don't think, you know, I mean, again, it'd probably be a good deal just to show support from the board. That kind of goes back with what Mr. Schuller's saying. Again, and Denny can speak more to this. I don't know how impressed the senators are when you pack a room full of, I'm going to call them activists, but these are people that are all charged up about a particular issue, and then they all stand in unison. You know, it's probably better than nobody showing up. But I think if you have somebody that you can intelligently exchange ideas and questions, you may have some new people, and you're going to have some new people on that committee.
Right.
And we all assume everybody knows about the Beatrice Six.
But not everybody does. I'll tell you honestly, if you can keep it simple, get to the details, and that's what you do. The more you throw of all the crap and what have you, the more irritated you're going to have senators. They've got other work to do. And get to the details on what it's done doing to affect us, what we're feeling right now and going forward, and any way they can help us, we appreciate it, and we've asked them for that.
I agree with you, Denny.
Yeah, that's...
Roll it, demon.
Well, and the reason...
Back to what Gary said, do we need any motion or anything like that?
I think it'd just be good to you know, no. You have unanimous support and circulate your... statement that you're going to read off of, and then that way if something happens, because they're run into issues up there where people can't testify live, so you can just submit it by email.
Well, I'll make a motion though that I support Eric being our representative to go up and speak for the board on 103 on what was the date again, Emily?
February 19th.
February 19th at 9:30 a.m.
Second.
Moved by Gary. Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. They take me to go talk on LB 103, and I'll write a letter before and a brief overview of what I'll say, and I'll have Don send that out to you guys in case you want to add anything. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Mr. Jurgens has stepped out of the room temporarily. Or not temporarily.
For 2 weeks.
Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion. Don?
Well, I just wanted to comment when I say about many of us going as we can, is that the day I was there when we had the other bill, when Chambers was in the Judiciary Committee, and Myron and John were there, and he asked, where's the county board? And I'm not condemning Myron and John, because I'm sure it was discussed here probably, and they were told, you know, not to comment. But there was nobody from the county board there.
What bill was that for?
Well, it was for the one for the state to, it was the first one Baker submitted. The one that would have allowed them to pay the entire amount.
Yeah,
it was.
That was the
original.
That's the attorney's retirement bill. That's what it was, to have the state pay the judgment off for this county, and we borrow the money at twice the interest rate we were paying on the judgment.
Yeah, we
well, that was not a good bill.
We specifically told them
it wasn't for borrowing them. There was two different bills. One was for borrowing and one was for them paying it. Anyway, we don't need to rehash that, do we? I'm just saying it was for me being there from Gage County testifying, even if Gage County, and I've said it to you guys here before, I mean, just even, and I realize and I respect that the attorneys recommended that the board did not comment, and I, or because of legalities in litigation. Even just to say we cannot comment because we are in litigation, at least kind of took the wind out of it. When you're there, it's kind of different than hearing about it. When you're there, you can realize the impact of that. And that's what makes me a little more...
Going back...
Why I bring up just being there for support for Myron and that we do care. It almost looked like that we didn't care. I mean, I know you do.
I have talked to Myron.
But you follow my...
In that case, Don, our state senator should have stepped up and said something about that, about what? Gage County being there or not being there.
What's more, I had specifically, and other members of the board had specifically asked Roy not to do that, and he did it anyway. We didn't want to borrow the money at a bigger rate, and there was no way it was even getting looked at in committee on the other. So sometimes you pick your battles and have to look at what works and what doesn't. And you don't want to play all your aces against a pair of twos.
But I understand. That's water under the bridge. I mean, I accept. All I'm talking about is for this bill. I think it. I would like to see, that's my opinion, some representation from the county board. And I'm happy that you will be testifying.
And I'll talk to Myron more before as well. But I'll say we have the, like I say, I'll circulate a letter, a brief statement. I'll probably run it by Roger, too.
Just send it out to everybody. I mean, because I think it's good. You know, one of the things is you were just talking about the road thing. And somebody mentioned, well, until this judgment gets done, we can't look at a bond. And that's mm-hmm. absolutely accurate. And so that's a direct impact mm-hmm. on our taxpayers because of this judgment hanging there.
That's another good point, the bond.
But you don't have to, you know, I agree with Senator Byers. If you go up there and take a lot of their time, they understand what you do. And Don's right, you got to be up there and say something. But I read an article today that some of the senators are already having hearing fatigue. That's also known as I go to sleep during hearings. and it's tough because they condensed everything so much.
Nothing wrong with brief and to the point.
No.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'll ask him specifically again.
What about 310?
Sorry, real quick. At that NACO deal that I was listening to, they reviewed all these. They were wanting supervisors or whoever to be there testifying
310?
On 310. They were requesting that.
I would recommend you be there and tell them it's important. Because, I mean, the state's always about their funding sources. And this is it does impact people, but I think reminding them this helps us do the things that the budget sometimes short on.
Yep.
I mean, that'd be, like you said, that's almost a really good point. The state's really cautious on where their dollars come. We got to be too, but.
Well, you know, everybody, they can always have, we can have a situation whether it's with a law enforcement car or we don't have funding for it. And we need it.
Riddle 310.
I
have not.
Majority of our taxpayers would accept that 1% inheritance tax versus
is it a decrease? Is it a decrease
when you get the other 99%
person inheriting keeps the money, or is the state keeping the money?
Well, it's like
I haven't seen that. I saw all the rates that you pay are cut in half. So instead of 1%, it's half.
Cut in half. Thank you.
Just let me know.
I assumed it was still going to the county.
That's probably one.
March 12th. Because to me, that's kind of important. Because if it's money being kept governmentally somewhere else, then.
I wouldn't like that at all.
If it's money being
here, it's all different.
But if it's money that's being left in. for the family or whatever.
Well, they don't have sales tax.
I might be on the other side.
I shouldn't say that.
I think it's a reduction in what the family pays or the inheritor pays, and it still goes to the county, the way I understand it. And then the instead of coming in at $100,000, does it go to $450,000 or for inheritance tax?
Right now,
$150,000 to $450,000, or
right now, basically your first $40,000. I'm just going to use immediate family. The spouse pays nothing. Okay, for the immediate family, which would be sons, daughters, grandsons, what they call them, class one family, they get a $40,000 exemption. Then it's 1%. And then the next tier, there's a, I believe it's an 8%, and that's just a little more distant relatives.
18%.
No, there's another one.
I usually do.
I thought there was another one. I usually get, like I said, the 18% is basically unrelated ones or really distant, like great niece.
Is it 13% and 18%?
That might be. I don't know. Again, I've got a little bit. I got a chart that I use to check everything.
I don't think it was.
I don't trust my memory on percentage.
1% clear market value of the property received by each person in excess of $150,000.
Yeah, that's a bill.
Yeah, and then that's in 2022. Then in 2023, it'll be 75.
Then they're
going to
raise that amount every year, it looks like.
So it's just decreasing the tax that'll be paid.
That's the way I understand it. That's where it's like, it's a tough
one. So it's 1%. It's 1% in 2022. And then in 2023, it's 0.75%.
Yeah.
And then 2024, it's 0.5% all over the.
So basically, in what, 3 years, we'll cut it in half?
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just tell you, I'm on the fence as far as 310 goes then, because it's a tax. And if we're decreasing a tax, while I respect the idea that some of this money's coming from outside the state borders or the county borders or whatever, it keeps some of that money here. I still don't care for a tax if we don't need it.
That's where I'm at too, Gary. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm 100% for 310 being 100% in place. it's a good funding. It's a good funding tool, and it's nice to have that inheritance tax coming in for us to have in our fund that we set aside and everything. But as far as me personally, I'm not just going to sign on for continuing a tax if we don't need it.
It just boils down to you just have to increase your budget, you know, if you need
correct.
The money to pay for something, which is going to raise what we have to tax our
constituents. That was Nico's comment. You'd have to replace it then so that you
can't
have
very many,
some other way.
I call them slush funds,
right.
But basically rainy day funds.
Or like us, where we're not operating that with that in our budget.
Funds, but
it wouldn't be, we wouldn't necessarily have to replace it with tax dollars.
And they're encumbered, so, you know.
Well, it gives us an emergency fund.
Yeah, they said that most counties use it that way.
Yeah, but this county does not.
Stay away from that.
I think it does, doesn't it?
No.
To what?
I even
we don't use it to operate our county.
No,
we use it as an inheritance.
That's what
I'm
saying.
I thought that's what you were saying.
Most counties use it as
that's the
backup emergency deal.
Yeah. Otherwise, it gets them in real trouble if you use it as a funding mechanism for operations.
Yeah.
It's not a deal where we would necessarily have to replace it with tax dollars.
No, but if you have an emergency, then where are you going to come up with the extra money? I mean, what have you used?
Well, if you're budgeting properly, you're putting money in in your building fund or your road and bridge fund so that you have emergency money sitting there. And we do that every year. You could do it to a little bit bigger degree to create a larger fund set aside. But there's nothing to say that if inheritance went away today, there's nothing to say that we would have to increase our tax levy, which we couldn't right now anyway. We wouldn't have to increase our tax levy to replace it right now.
I think you would, because we do pay several things out of that
We wouldn't be able to, though. We'd have to readjust. What Gary's saying is we'd have to adjust that.
You'd be paying out of your...
within our means.
Yeah, you'd be paying out of your building fund or your road and bridge fund, then.
Yes and no. You'd have to budget for more in those funds.
Right.
Right, that's what I said. You plan, in your budgeting process, you plan for it.
Yes, yeah.
Right, instead of being lazy and just depending on inheritance tax.
Just increase the fees to Beatrice Daly Sun.
That may be true, but do you really want to, I mean, with the financial situation.
Want to talk over here with Gary, too, or do you want us to go over there?
You want it reduced?
Over there, I think.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I do or I don't, Don. I'm just saying that I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm 100% in support of striking 310. I'm not 100% in support of that, so I'm not going to tell somebody that I am.
I'm on the fence, too, and I told the chamber, me personally, I said not as – and that's something, too, if you guys would keep that in mind, and I don't know how much weight it has. I mean, but if we say something as a board, you know, we're saying it as a board with board support. If you're saying it personally, I mean, even to the Chamber of Commerce, our local people, you know, I say it's my personal opinion so they don't misconstrue that as being a Board of Supervisors opinion, because my personal opinion really follows you. I'm really torn on that one. I don't like taxes.
I think you can make a good argument that what they're doing is actually, you know, if we have half of what we get every year in inheritance tax, I think that that's reasonable. I think you could make that argument that that's reasonable and we could function with that.
Well, yeah, I haven't read the intent, legislative intent from the senator that proposed this. So I don't know what they're aiming at.
Mm-hmm.
Some counties benefit tremendously from this. And right. I don't know what they use it for. I don't live there.
Right.
I just, the few counties I've dealt with around here, it's a rainy day fund so that if something happens, that operation doesn't stop. I can cover.
I think they've been trying to introduce legislation in several areas to benefit cities and counties. They've been getting a lot of crap that we've been paying for everything, but they're not giving anything back. And that's where it's coming from.
Urgency fund stuff.
That's very possible. I'm like you. It's just part of my everyday because I do the inheritance tax worksheet.
I've got to go talk to the sheriff.
Go through that.
I'll have to deal with this.
But I can see both sides of the argument. I mean, you know, you pay income tax on what you make. You pay sales tax on what you buy.
I'm asking
when you die, you pay tax
quick.
Again. I mean, everybody's got to buy to you all the way through life.
My boys would not be happy with us at all.
No, but it's like they say, 1%, I'll pay that because everything else is so rough.
We've got a split decision on this, I think, in the board on 310. I've got another quick question for you guys. We got a letter from John Cannon at NACO. Larry Dix retired. He would like to, you know, all of us know Larry Dix. I don't know if you two have met him. He runs NACO.
I met him on the Zoom deal.
He will have a formal retirement February 1st, so he's retired. He won't be leaving. He will become the executive director emeritus and working on some projects for NACO. John's reaching out to ask us, since Larry meant a lot to the Nebraska counties, he's putting together a few items to honor him, and here is where I could use your help. He would like to put together a full book of well wishes from county officials. Way of gathering together would be a clerk no later than May 1st on county letterhead. Have each elected official, county official, sign it. They'll present that to Larry. He would also like us to have a resolution declaring September 13th, Larry's birthday, which is also mine, Larry Dix Day.
We'll just use his last name.
You make it their human day, too.
I don't have a problem with everybody signing something for him in a book.
Every elected official? I'm just asking the question. I mean, at least.
But declaring Larry Dix Day is inappropriate as far as I'm concerned. We can sign a letter. He's done a good job. I helped hire him originally.
He did. He was involved with our lawsuit stuff and talking to other counties with that. He did help there. I don't know. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on this? Here's the letter. You can look at it. But
if they just change it to Dick's Day.
I think the point is that the things that he does, you know, the bills that he fights for the counties and things like that.
He's a strong lobbyist.
That they're looking at. So
my hands.
I know Seward is
sore.
Seward is doing resolution.
There's my pen back to Don. I don't have a pen, so I can't.
Yeah,
I don't like the idea of declaring a day either. So I mean, I think that sounds like that's out. Do you guys want to sign something on county letterhead and send it in?
I don't have a pen. Sorry.
I don't have a problem with signing something, but I don't think we need to do today.
Well, what we'll do is I'll have Don get a letterhead.
I'll bring it over.
And if someone wants to sign it, they can, or leave a note for him or something. We'll make it an optional thing there. And I'm with you guys on the day. It seems odd, although it is a spectacular birthday.
A lot of people asking about the resolution, so there's a lot of counties going to do it.
Our country has been initially really bothered with that September 13th day.
They like that. I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Schuler. Please vote.
7 in favor.
5 in favor with Lytle voting no.
Oh, my thing.
How
broke.
Dare you?
I couldn't get it turned back.
Well, at least they got your yellow cap back on there.